You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recently, National MP Catherine Webb has launched a members' bill that has been supported by the wider National Party to ban under-16-year-olds from social media. Since, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon has announced that Education Minister Erica Stanford will be exploring options that would be brought to Cabinet. As such, Stanford's education portfolio will be amended to ensure she can commission advice and direct officials to mitigate the harms of social media on under-16-year-olds. Luxon says that he has received an overwhelmingly positive response from mums and dads regarding these moves. At the end of last year, in light of Australia passing a similar bill, a One News Variant poll showed 68% were in support of New Zealand passing a similar bill, 22% were opposed, with 10% undecided. These moves come alongside the launch of Before 16, a group wanting to ban social media access to under-16-year-olds. I spoke to the co-chair of Before 16, Anna Curzon, about why she supports this outright ban. To start, could you clarify what is Before 16?
So Before 16 is a new charity, and we're a collective of parents, clinicians, public health experts, business leaders, but mums and dads essentially that are really advocating and working to protect children from online harm. And our big focus is calling for some pretty urgent legislation to raise the age for social media access before 16. You know, it's in line with other age limits already in place for things like cigarettes and alcohol.
Despite the organisation being comprised of what you just said as families, clinicians and public health experts, have young people been engaged with regarding with what you are calling for?
Yes, we've got a wide network of advocates and a community, and in fact, one of the Before 16 team, Melindy, who's the CEO of Outward Bound, done a lot of research with young people, tamariki, that come through her beautiful business. And it's really interesting, actually. They ran a bit of an experiment with a digital detox, and the results were really interesting because nearly 80% of our rangatahi said they wanted to decrease their screen time after doing that. They dropped the amount of time they were on their screens from 31 to like 7%. And about 85% agreed that they'd actually, you know, they were better off without social media. A lot of them said too that, you know, under 16, it's very hard to manage social media use, and they would be much better off in terms of trying to do this if all their friends were also, you know, not on social media. So we are really reaching out to people of all ages, but especially youth, to get their feedback, and this is what they're telling us.
What social media would you like to be targeted with this bill?
Well, it's really interesting, Joel, because the things that we know about right now are things like, you know, Meta's products, Instagram, along with the likes of TikTok, Snapchat, etc. But there are other platforms emerging, like Roblox, Discourse, etc. And so we need to ensure that whatever legislation is in place, that the definition is wide enough to account for new and emerging platforms, because technology is moving so quickly in this space, especially, you know, with the introduction of AI, etc. So we want to make sure that legislation is really robust. We want to ensure that we don't sort of say, here are the group of companies that we want to focus on right now, and then for that to become obsolete, you know, within a few months. So it's really about having an always-on approach, defining the type of harm that we can see with social media platforms. And of course, you know, I heard a comment the other day from a friend whose child was using Spotify, and actually they were looking at what they were seeing on Spotify, and there are a lot of really quite terrifying videos that were coming up even through that channel. So, you know, we want to ensure that we're really looking far and wide and making sure that we're putting pressure on these companies with these billion-dollar algorithms that are targeting our kids before, you know, quite frankly, their brains are ready for it.
How feasible is this members' bill? Could someone under 16 not just fake their age or even use a VPN for a different country to access social media?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And we know that that's actually what teenagers are doing now, because, and not even teenagers, you know, kids sort of the likes of 8 or 9, etc. And that's happening now, that kids are saying, oh, no, you know, I'm above the age of 13, etc. Now, this is absolutely possible. There is technology out there. We're working with the experts globally in age verification, and there are numerous ways that companies can verify someone's age. It's complex to roll it out, and we want to acknowledge that, you know, to a whole country. But at the same time, the technology is there, and the big platforms are using this kit now, if you like. You know, Meta is using a company called Yoshi to age verify people or users that have a, you know, say that they're, say, I don't know, 13, 14, and then suddenly they're 18. They'll come in and age verify them at that stage. And what we're saying is, if it's okay for that specific use case, why wouldn't you do it for everyone that's signing up? And we know the answer to that, of course, because these big platforms are making a lot of money through advertising and engagement. And, you know, they're really using our kids' identities, their behaviour, their profiles to sell their identities to these advertisers. And we just don't think that's good enough.
With that, if the verification process were to be strict in the future, such as with facial recognition or users having to upload personal identification, would this not raise privacy concerns, especially regarding minors?
Well, look, I think if you're worried about privacy, you should not be on social media at all, because that ship has sailed with these social media companies. But with your specific question about age verification, the techniques and tools that can be used are very sophisticated. So, for example, the social media platforms don't even need to hold any of this data. Third parties can be used to do the verification and then pass what we call a token to the social media company to say, this person with this profile is aged over 16. That is very sophisticated tech. It's happening now. And in fact, and again, this blew my mind when I was talking to some of the experts across EU, you know, the UK, Australia, etc. Even the way that you move your hands, so getting people to move their hands in a certain way across the screen, can age verify you into blocks to a 99% level of accuracy. There's also a great company here in New Zealand, Manahi, who's working with the Australian government, and, you know, they're working with things like school-based identification and then using that as a way of saying to the social media companies, yes, this person is over the age of 16. So look, it can be done. We need to work through the details. But, you know, if we can send rockets off the coast of Mahia, I'm pretty sure Kiwis can figure this out.
Would you like more to be done with what is being currently proposed with this members bill, or are you happy with the current state of it?
We would like more to be done. We think it's a great first start to get out of the blocks and create this conversation. But we need really robust legislation, and we're calling on the coalition, everyone in the coalition, National, New Zealand First and ACT, to come together and put their political philosophies aside and say, actually, we're going to put our kids first, because we know that since social media came onto our kids' smartphones just over a decade ago, that psychological distress between 15 and 24-year-olds has increased 400%. You know, one in four kids are going to have a mental health illness before the age of 18. It's just not good enough. And so, you know, we heard some really interesting stories yesterday from a brave young woman about her experience with social media and, you know, the almost FOMO of self-harm and how that can escalate amongst kids. We also heard from a paediatrician who is working on the front line in a hospital in New Zealand and is dealing with escalation of tweens and teens committing self-harm. You know, he gets to see some of them in ED, but he says that, you know, others actually don't make it there in time. And this is the reality of why we want to see regulation to provide some protection to children. So we are calling on the coalition to show us what they're made of, to come together and really protect our kids with some very strong and robust legislation. And it's great to see that Erica Stanford is now going to look wide at this problem, far and wide across the globe. I heard her this morning talking about looking at the EU and what they're doing. We've got a lot of that research ourselves, and we're happy to share it with the government.
Despite a lot of support, what has been proposed has also received a lot of criticism. Many are concerned about how effective this bill, if passed into law, would be. As mentioned previously, Australia passed a similar bill last year, which is set to go into effect at the end of this year. However, there are still hurdles in the way before the implementation of this policy in December, such as what tech will be used to ensure under 16-year-olds aren't on social media, and whether social media platforms themselves will comply. Here in New Zealand, what is currently being proposed has seen relatively mixed opinions. New Zealand First supports the move, however, ACT does not. The ACT Party previously called the members' bill hastily drafted, simplistic and unworkable, and has instead called for a public inquiry before the select committee. I also spoke to Dr. Alex Beattie, a lecturer in media and communications at the Victoria University of Wellington, about what has been proposed and his concerns regarding the bill. To start, what has ignited these calls for 16-year-olds to be banned from social media?
Well, I mean, I think everyone can relate to that sense that you're being online a little too much. You're doom scrolling, maybe physically you're feeling a bit weird. You're bed rotting, I believe, is a term that your listeners will probably be familiar with. We all know that we spend a lot of time online, and there's a great debate going on whether or not that's actually an issue. And recently, a moral psychologist, Jonathan Hyatt, wrote a book called The Anxious Generation. It was published a year or so ago, and it's really made waves. It's made a big impact. It was read by Australian politicians. It led to them announcing the ban over there, and it's made a big impact over here as well. So it's really that book, along with sort of this sort of growing unease that young people are just spending too much time online.
Speaking more to Australia, what are we seeing from other countries? Are we seeing other calls in other countries as well, such as the UK and the US?
Yes, so as I just mentioned, Australia's announced a ban that should go into effect, I think, at the end of this year. I believe some states in the United States have announced bans. What I like what they're doing in the UK is that rather than just banning social media, they're advocating for stronger rights for young people. There's this group called the Five Rights Organisation. And what they're saying is, you know, let's just not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's recognise that social media can be really meaningful and really important to young people, but let's actually create safer spaces. Let's regulate social media. Let's maybe think about what ads young people can see. Let's think about the sort of gamification tactics that are used to keep people scrolling, to nudge people to return to their phone. Maybe those aren't appropriate for young people. So they're taking a kind of a different approach that I really like, and I think we should do something similar here.
Despite only targeting under 16-year-olds, how would this impact the wider population?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we should recognise that young people are amazing with technology, right? You know, whether it's like Finsta, fake Instagram accounts, which on one level you might laugh at, but actually that's young people showing like the nuances and how to be authentic online. And actually, if you're friends with your grandma, your mates, your school friends, all on the same platform, it's actually kind of hard to be authentic. So this idea of having many accounts is actually kind of a form of literacy. And we can really learn from young people. If you ban social media, then, you know, you're taking away young people to express themselves, to actually teach us how to use these things. And the other point I'll add to that is, you know, we talk a lot about sort of writing and reading literacy dropping. And I can sympathize with that. But you know what social media also does? It allows people to practice different forms of literacy, storytelling, visual communication, oral communication on TikTok and Instagram. You take these things away, you're robbing young people's chance to showcase and develop their skills that are essential for this digital age.
Would this specifically have an impact on young people, a part of marginalised communities as well?
Yes, I think so. And I don't think that's being talked about enough, this equity issue. You know, if you're young but sort of, you know, everyone looks like you in your community, you kind of fit that norm, then losing social media might be less of a big deal because you already fit in. But if you're different, you know, if you're gay and live in a small town, if you're a recent immigrant and you've got family overseas, social media has such a different kind of role for you. And it's maybe the only space where you can sort of be celebrated for who you are and you can be seen. So that's not really being talked about enough. And this is this whole point. You know, we just sort of think that social media is the same for everyone. It's not. It really changes depending on who you are.
And what about with a young person's political engagement? A lot of political parties have sort of pushed their views through social media. Could we see a change in this space as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, social media is such a strong community organising event or an organising tool. You know, we know that young people are extremely passionate about issues like the climate. And, you know, some of these climate strikes that got record numbers, you know, they probably wouldn't have been possible without the affordances of Facebook and Instagram that advertises this. So I do think it's really draconian in that sense. If you take away social media, how can young people kind of organise and, you know, express themselves and, you know, represent their rights?
What are the logistics of this bill looking like so far? How effective would it be if it were put into practice?
Well, there's massive question marks. You know, age verification technologies are immature, meaning that they don't necessarily work that well. They tend to rely on users inputting their information in and then AI to assess images, which can be often really faulty, as we know. And so there's those sort of technical challenges. And then, you know, the question is, if you're just going to ban, you know, Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and Snapchat, young people are just going to relocate elsewhere. And it's just going to be a little bit like whack-a-mole, trying to just follow where all the young people go.
And you briefly touched on this, but are we seeing any positives to under 16-year-olds with using social media?
Absolutely. I mean, often when we talk about this, we sort of assume that social media just affects us. It has this like unidirectional effect. And what we forget about is that we actually use social media itself. We create a lot of meaning ourselves when we use it. Social media is, that's why it's not like a cigarette or alcohol, something that you just consume. It's social infrastructure. It's scaffolding. It's a place where your identity develops, where you learn how to connect and relate to other people. And, you know, a lot of that tends to be forgotten, and there's a lot of good about that. You know, this is why it's hard to study and hard to, like, measure the effects, is that we use it so differently. You can use it to, yeah, compare yourself to your peers and feel a little stink, but you also use it to keep in touch with your grandparents or people from overseas. So, you know, it has so much utility and usefulness for people's lives.
And overall, how are you sort of feeling about this members' bill?
Well, you know, on one level, I'm glad to see that there's a lot of attention on this issue and that we could, you know, do a lot more to regulate these platforms to make them safer and a happier place, so to speak, for young people. But I think the ban is an overreach. It's not going to work. It's discriminatory. It's not feasible. They've called for more research, which is great, but I really hope that they get a range of different expertise in there, not just the psychologists and health people, but the media people as well, media studies and communication and experts in that kind of realm. So if we do more research, fantastic. We can teach people how to disconnect and unplug and switch off, great. And hopefully it'll turn in that direction.
What would you suggest is a better approach than this sort of blanket ban that's being put into the biscuit tin?
Well, you know, I think, as I mentioned earlier, we should be advocating more for children's rights. So pressuring these businesses to change the way they design these spaces to make them safer, I think that's 100% a step that we should do and follow the UK. But what we could also do is teach people how to unplug and switch off, rather than doing it for them and then just expecting them to use their phones with skill by the time they reach 16 and use social media. Teach them how to switch off, you know, build it into your media studies curriculum. You know, what I teach my students at university to switch off, we do it as an assignment. I ask students to temporarily, you know, go offline for 24 hours or 48 hours or whatever. And it's amazing what kind of impact that can make. When you take the thing away, you learn more about your relationship with it, your dependency on it, and you learn about how to change those habits if you want to. So let's teach people how to disconnect rather than doing it for them.
That was Before 16's Anna Curzon and the Victoria University of Wellington's Dr. Alex Beattie on the National MP Catherine Wedd's Members' Bill to ban under 16-year-olds from social media.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.